from Pitori to the world.
Alumni Talk, Alumni Talk. The time has come to engage in conversations that are yet to be heard, while unearthing unique stories about those who are ready to share their stories to inspire and educate you. Get ready as we dive deeper into the lives of TUT exceptional alumni. From the heartbeat of Pitori to the world, this is Alumni Talk.
Good evening and welcome to Alumni Talk at Swana FM 93.6. My name is Lalo V. David, and I'm excited to share with you those untold stories of bravery and selflessness from the heroes amongst us. Tonight, we are shining the spotlight to the courageous men and women who risk it all to keep our communities safe and making sure that we are remaining in those safe homes of ours. So today we'll be shedding that light to the courageous men and women, although we'll be speaking to a man, but we are shedding the spotlight to our firefighters, our rescuers, our emergency responders. My guest tonight is a firefighter, an author. His name is Lindsay Mungoni, who has recently been appointed as the Acting Public Information and Liaison Officer and Spokesperson for the City of Tshwane's Emergency Services Department, responsible for communicating vital information to the public and media. As a firefighter, has been to rescue missions in Haiti, Japan, and the Philippines, to name a few. He's an author of Firefighter, first and foremost, a book that he has published as an attempt to let us into his life as a firefighter. Join the conversation on social media. We are Swana FM across all social media platforms. You can find us also on WhatsApp 012-382-4936. Also, you can use the hashtag Alumni Talk, and you can also find me at Nhlawulo V. David on social media platforms. Let's celebrate their courageous dedication, unwavering commitment to serving others. Get ready to get into those inspiring stories. But before we get to that, there's that segment that I love so much that Malisele will be doing if she was not in recess. But I'm here to make sure that we do that. We are about to follow those alumni success stories.
Follow alumni success.
As we follow those success stories, the Public Relations Institute of Southern Africa, PRISA, members have nominated Oscar Rofiwa Chifuri, our alumnus from the TUT, TUT, the Department of Public Relations, as an organization's new president during its 67th National Annual General Meeting on Friday, 5th of July. PRISA was established in 1957 to promote industry excellence as a professional body for public relations and communications practitioners in Southern Africa. Chifuri brings over 20 years of intensive experience in communications, public affairs, reputation management, and stakeholder management to the role. His vision is a transformative and collaborative future for PRISA. And to this now, congratulations to Paulina Ngubeni, who's 33 years of age, and Andy Potkaba, who's also 33. Both of them have been named among the 200 most promising young South Africans by the Melian Guardian newspaper. Paulina, a lecturer in tourism management, is making waves in the tourism and hospitality industry. She's also a work integrated coordinator, empowering students to turn industry challenges into entrepreneurial opportunities. And Dimpo, a lecturer also in the crop science, is a farmer and agricultural enthusiast who's cultivating a brighter future. He's involved with the youth agriculture and rural development and runs his own farming enterprise, Tusanang Bakone Group. And these are the stories that we are following from today when we get to Alumni Talk. Right now, we are about to get to that conversation.
Follow Alumni Success.
As mentioned, today we are joined by one of the cream of the crop when we talk about, you know, the emergency rescue. As we are joined, let me say it's a privilege for me to be joined tonight by firefighter and author, spokesperson, media liaison officer, Mr. Lindsay Mungoni.
normally your other name is not, you know, put in some of the media releases and stuff like that. They just initial it Z, so I'll just keep it as Mr. Lindsay Z Mguni, who has recently been appointed as the acting public information and liaison officer and spokesperson for the City of Tshwane's Emergency Services Department. He's responsible for communicating vital information to the public and media. Critical role, a critical role, that requires clarity, compassion, and expertise. So, this is the man that we all look up to. When they say, oh, there might be a cold front, we hear it from him, by the way. So, you must know that. But that's not all that he has done. Mr. Mguni is also a seasoned firefighter with international experience, having been part of a rescue missions in Haiti, Japan, and Philippines, to name a few. And if that's not enough, he has also published a book. This book is titled Firefighter First and Foremost, which offers a glimpse into his life as a firefighter, sharing stories of courage, danger, and humanity. Tonight, we'll dive into those stories of Mr. Mguni's journey, exploring his experiences as a firefighter, his new role in emergency services, the stories behind his book. Get ready for that inspiring conversation, because it's happening now. Mr. Mguni, welcome to Sona FM. Welcome to Alumni Talk.
Thank you, Ntlaolo. Mr. Chauke, thank you, and welcome to listeners of Sona FM.
Thank you so much for making time for us. You are a busy man, responsible for something very, very serious. I think we'll be foolish if we don't recognize the work that, you know, emergency responders do. But before we get into that story of, you know, being a firefighter and working for the city of Tshwane, being in Haiti, Japan, Philippines, and all these other areas, let's say in our city, in the city of Tshwane, I think I want us to start here. You studied here. You studied at TUT.
Yes.
And you studied fire technology. You are our alumni. You also have a BTEC in that qualification. What inspired you to pursue your higher education at TUT, and how did your time at TUT shape your career?
Well, thanks, sir. I started studying here in 2003. I was still young then, as a firefighter in the city of Tshwane Emergency Services Department. So I started in Tshwane in 2001, in July. And since I'm a goal-driven and success-driven person, I then decided to join TUT. Then it was called Pretoria Technicon.
Mm-hmm.
I was following in the footsteps of other officers, you know, because I wanted to be an officer also. So I just didn't want to be a firefighter only, but I wanted to, you know, leave knowledge, impart knowledge to others as well.
Yeah.
So in 2003, I started studying for my national diploma, of which I completed in 2006, and in 2007 I obtained my BTEC fire technology.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Having the skill, you are trying to say, having the skills in the field is not enough. You also need the knowledge.
Yeah, you know, it is very wise to also learn and, you know, hone your skills and become better as a person.
Mm-hmm. And how have the skills and knowledge you gained at TUT, you know, how has it impacted your performance as a firefighter? You know, that knowledge that you got is something different from what maybe you had already, you know, accumulated as a firefighter before you came to TUT. How did it help you out there?
Yeah, first of all, I must just try to explain, you know, being a firefighter.
Yeah.
Being a firefighter is a calling on its own.
Mm.
So you are trained very intensely on the field, and you become a rescuer, become a firefighter, rescuer, emergency medical technician. And because of the passion, you want to do more. So you need to train, you know, and gain more skills and do, you know, wonders for the community.
Yeah.
So having that ambition, having that goal, And I said to myself, no, let me go and study. Just like many others, you know, of us who wanted to become officers, wanted to improve in life.
Yeah.
Then I decided to join the city of Tshwane, Akgadi, Tshwane University of Technology. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But to answer you in that question, having joined Tshwane University of Technology helped me a lot, you know, to have prospects of promotions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to better your life in that sense.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't get if you were not qualified.
Yeah. Talking about, you know, the Tshwane University of Technology having, you know, managed to help you. To this now, this university is celebrating its 20 years of empowering people since the inception in 2004, right? How did they empower you?
Yeah, I believe in education. Eh? I believe in education and training. And with education comes the right opportunities in life.
Yeah.
And you can go very far with that. So, like I said before, you get empowered because you get to, you know, think critically. You get to solve problems that not anyone can just solve.
Mm.
But if you apply your analytical thinking, your critical thinking, your managerial, education, then you can, you know, solve problems that the community is maybe struggling to solve.
Yeah.
So TUT came in that space and helped me to become a better person.
That's amazing. It's 12 minutes after the hour 6. You're tuning into Alumni Talk at Tshwane FM 93.6. My name is Lalo V. Davis. Do join the conversation. If you want to say thank you to our emergency responders, do find us on social media. We are Tshwane FM 93.6 across all social media platforms. 0123-824-936. Lalo V. Davis across all social media platforms. The hashtag is Alumni Talk. We are in conversation with a firefighter, author, Mr. Lindsay Zed Mguni. He's also a spokesperson and media liaison officer, acting public information and liaison officer, right, for the City of Tshwane's Emergency Services Department. But not only that, he has written a book titled Firefighter First and Foremost, which offers a glimpse into his life as a firefighter, sharing stories of courage and danger and humanity. Right. So let's get into that book right now. What inspired you, to write this book? I think let's start there. I want to ask you a lot of questions about the book, but let's start there.
Growing up, I used to write poems, and you know, but they are lost now because I didn't have any place to store them. You know, if it was this era, I would have been able to store them. But I was writing them on paper with my hand. So as I grew up and got exposed to computers and at work and at home, then I decided maybe it's time I recorded my work as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing a book. It was in honor of my mother, my late mother.
Mm-hmm.
I started writing it in my home language, isiZulu. But along the writing then, I decided, no, let me write it in English because I thought, you know, you cannot just write for Zulus only.
Yes.
So I wanted to go international.
Mm-hmm.
Then I changed the title from, you know, that of honoring my mother, and then I just said, okay, let me honor everyone that is participating in making the world a better place.
Yes.
Including my mother, of course. Yeah. So I started writing in the honor of firefighters,
Wow. Yeah. So what drives your passion for this work?
It's love. I think it's love for humanity. Love for humanity. You know, I grew up, you know, struggling in life, and many times I would think, what if somebody came and helped me?
Mm.
Even by buying food for us as a family.
Yeah.
But again, being poor, you know, you've got that pride as well. You don't want handouts. You want to work hard for it. Yeah, you want to work hard for it.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, love for what I do and love for work and love for humanity, love to help people, dedication and a little bit of humbleness, if I can say so, made me to join the firefighting fraternity.
I would say to anyone that is listening today, I think today it's actually a great day to have this conversation with you. It's Mandela Day, right? I don't know. I think I didn't see the bus enough this year. People going out there and say, oh, 67 minutes for Mandela. I think most people even forgot that it's Mandela Day today. And there's a lot of people who are doing a lot of things and fighting for other people. And if you heard, for those who just tuned in now, and our alumni success stories, we also shared that there is somebody out there trying to make sure that they help students who are struggling when it comes to will. And they say, you know, those struggles that you're facing, let's turn them into entrepreneurship. And those are the people who care. Those are the people who care about humanity. And tonight we are joined by one of those people. In your book, you also, you know, taking us through to you know, your work in the field and some of the great things that you have done, things that you have accomplished, and being favored, let's say, and or trusted to lead you know, a team of firefighters, and also trusted to go and to rescue missions overseas. I'm talking about your Philippines, your Japan, your Haiti. Can you share that those, you know, some of those rescue missions, that like that memorable experiences that you have, you know, working in those countries?
Yeah, just like interviews, writing is also, you know, time limited and space limited. So I could have written many of my turnouts, you know.
Yeah.
But it came at the right time that I could write about the missions, because I thought they would have a greater impact than just going to rescue a victim on the road, that is trapped on the road. And yeah, having gone to Haiti in 2010, it was the first time that I flew in on a plane.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was a bit scared, and my commanders, you know, they kept, you know, comforting me, saying, rest.
We'll
get there, So then it made me to think that being a firefighter can also take you to the world.
Yeah.
So you're not just a firefighter, you're not just an ordinary person.
Mm.
You are somebody that can help even overseas or abroad or... Mm. You know, not only in your jurisdiction, in your area of jurisdiction. Yeah.
What criteria do they use, though, to select who's supposed to go into this international, you know, let's say into these international countries to, you know, take part in some rescue missions?
Yeah. The firefighting, you know, career is broad, it's very broad. You've got many branches or many departments. So in the city of Tswane, we've got a unit called Urban Session Rescue Unit.
Mm.
So that is a team of firefighters that are specializing in rescues.
Okay.
Your class 4 diving, your swift water rescues, building and structural collapsed, confined space rescue, high angle rescue, which is sometimes called rope rescue technician. So most of those courses, they put you at a state where you can now become an urban search and rescue technician. That can be, you know, called upon if there is a special rescue mission.
Yeah.
So that is the main criteria. You must be a trained urban search and rescue technician to be in the team that is deployed anywhere.
Yeah.
So I was trained at that time. And I got the honors to go and rescue the people in Haiti.
Yeah. And what lessons have you learned from your experiences that you hope readers will take from, you know, will take away from your book?
Um, It's hard to say because each reader is an individual.
Yeah.
But I would like to, you know, inspire people with my story. It's a story of hope, a story of success, a story of fighting hard and, you know, aiming and being determined and ambitious about what you want to do. And sometimes luck, you know, and God's favor as well. So, yeah, I want people to not give up in life.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I didn't, you know. Today, I occupy one of the prestigious offices in the department, and it's still an ongoing story.
And what are some of the challenges that you faced writing this book, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, like I said, I wanted to, you know, share my life story as a person who grew up from in the rural areas and then came to the city.
Yeah.
But it was difficult to, you know, express myself because it's my first book. Secondly, after writing the book, I found it difficult to publish it. I was looking left, right, and center for the, you know, favorite publishing company or, you know, to call it a publisher.
Yeah.
But then I decided, okay, let me, you know, go worldwide again, and I found a publisher in America. So I had to pay money to publish.
Yeah,
a lot of money.
And in terms of sales, right, for this book, do you know how many copies were you able to sort of like sell?
At this moment, I don't know because I don't really worry about the sales.
Mm-hmm.
All I worry about is if my book is read by one person, then I've achieved what I wanted to achieve. But in terms of sales, because it's self-published and you know, it's not getting that marketing like in the mainstream publishing.
Yeah.
So I would say I've sold close to 2,000 books worldwide.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that your book is not just for South Africans, it's for, although also other people who are, you know, internationally. Talking about, you know, you as a firefighter and the book itself, how has your work as a firefighter shaped your perspective of life, and what wisdom can you share with the readers and the listeners?
Yeah, I want to take you back to the International Rescue Missions just a little bit. In Haiti, when we were in Haiti in 2010, we saw the worst destruction that you can imagine to a nation. And it was unbearable. It was pain all over. It was, you know, sadness. But there was hope in the eyes of the Haitians. You could, you know, extract a feeling of determination to rise again from the ashes.
Yeah.
And me and my colleague, we used to, you know, sympathize with the children.
Yeah.
So as a firefighter, you get to, you know, to get in touch with humanity, to get in touch with the people. Going to Japan the following year, then it became clear that the Japanese are a very well organized country. They've got just in time systems, you know. Everything happens just in time. Nobody wants to become late there. And, you know, they respect their culture, they respect their traditions, and they respect the visitors, the people. When we arrived there, there was a parade for us, you know, people bowing down and saying, "Welcome to Japan," those kinds of things. So you get to learn different kinds of cultures along the way. When we went to the Philippines, we noticed that Philippines is an island nation. It's made up of different islands.
Yeah.
And you get to learn the island, you know, lifestyles.
Mm.
People, they don't just live in cities,
yeah.
All of them. So we went to the deep rural areas and we traveled along the cities and rural areas, mm-hmm. you know, alternatively.
Yeah.
But when we treated the Philippines, when we rescued and treated the Philippines, they were so thankful.
Yeah.
And they're just humble people.
And yeah.
They're like me and you. They want to help and assist.
Mm.
Yeah. So we even named one of the buildings there, the Nelson Mandela Medical Center, because we were treating and triaging the people there.
Wow.
So we wrote on the wall with spray paint as rescue technicians, Nelson Mandela Medical Center.
Amazing. Yeah. Wow. Talking about people who are so thankful, let's bring you back home in the city of Tshwane. How often do you know people reach out to say, you know what, you've rescued us there, we're in danger, we're not sure if we're going to survive, you know? Maybe it's in the case of a burning building, someone was trapped in something, or drowning or something.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
Yeah.
Remember, as public servants, not everybody is going to praise you.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people, you don't meet people's expectations.
Mm.
But many a times we get to be thanked. And that's all that we need as firefighters.
Mm.
If you say thank you, then we feel, you know, accomplished.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a letter to the chief to say that this team did this wonderful work. Even educating the children during a school visit.
Mm.
You know, when the teachers and the children say thank you, it's good enough for us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are there people, because I know people are different, right? There's serious situations that people find themselves in, but sometimes maybe they are not even thinking straight at some point. Are there people who sometimes refuse treatment, and how do you handle such?
Yeah, it's each person's right to be treated,
yeah.
You know, whether you have arrived there or not, it's the person's right to be treated, especially the Constitution allows for people to be treated in emergency situations.
Mm-hmm.
So where a person doesn't want to be treated, then we stand back and say, okay, this person doesn't want to be treated.
Yeah.
But we can only do that with people who are in sound mind,
mm-hmm.
those that cannot, you know, technically give consent.
Mm.
We assume that
they
want the treatment.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily run an emergency medical services as a city of Tshwane, but we run the emergency services, which include firefighting and the specialized rescues.
Yeah.
The emergency medical services, or EMS, is a provincial function by the government of Gauteng.
Amazing, amazing stories. It's exactly 28 minutes after the hour 6, actually 29 minutes after the hour 6, Alumni Talk at 20 FM 93.6. And we are in a very exciting conversation, that one that is teaching me a lot. And we are speaking to a firefighter, author, acting public information and liaison officer, and spokesperson for the City of Tshwane's Emergency Services Department. This gentleman has been in different countries and all over the city as well, in rescue missions, ensuring the safety of our people, ensuring the safety of the residents. And it's all about humanity, courage as well, getting into those dangerous situations just to make sure, you know what, my life, I was born for this in my life, to rescue people, and that's what he's doing. You know, I often wonder though, you know, once you choose this kind of, you know, career and this life, and there are people in your life,
yes,
your family, could be your wife, your children, your let's say friends as well, yeah, and colleagues. You know, there are colleagues who are maybe not responding directly. They are sitting somewhere in the office doing something.
Yes.
And they hear you going somewhere and to this rescue mission, and it's something dangerous. Let's take, for instance, Haiti, right? Mm-hmm. How difficult is it for them, and how do you, you know, sort of like, can you guarantee safety? Let's start there. Then I'm going to come back and I'll be safe. I won't be injured. I won't be harmed.
Yeah, we always say a good day is when everybody comes home. Mm. A firefighter is a person who is called.
Yeah.
You cannot just join the fire department because you're looking for work.
Mm.
Of course, it is an employment opportunity, but it is also a calling.
Mm-hmm.
So even your family, they understand, or they should understand, that you've chosen a career where you may not come home. You may come home, you know, in a sad situation.
Mm-hmm.
You may be injured,
mm-hmm,
you know, and be crippled forever, or you accumulate, you know, work related injuries or diseases.
Yeah.
So a family structure is very important so that you can have that support.
Mm.
And also when you come home, you shouldn't bring, you know, your work or
back
your stresses.
Home, yeah.
You bring it back home. You should try to balance that and take care of each other.
Yeah.
And with faith and with love of each other, then you carry on for another day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how supportive are your friends and family?
Look, we try to be as normal as we can as firefighters. So we just try to display, you know, the basic you, the true you. And if you are honest, then your family will support you. And because they know you, they know who you are, and your friends will support you. Mostly we've got friends in the same fraternities in the emergency services. It's difficult to make friends outside because you talk a different language.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. No. I think about it, you know,
yeah,
and ask myself a lot of questions. Like, okay, you get into this kind of a career and it's a calling, and you have to convince your family that, you know what, this is what I'm called for. This is what I'll be doing with my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I'm imagining how my family would feel at the time, because, you know, sometimes even for example, simple stuff as being a journalist and stuff, and you,
yeah,
decide that I want to be an investigative journalist, and then they start worrying. It's like, you're going to put yourself in some dangerous situations,
yeah,
you know. Even the kind of cars that journalists drive sometimes,
yeah,
they'll tell you, don't drive that one because you're going to go to this story, you might get hijacked.
Yeah.
So now I'm thinking, I'm saying, I want to be a firefighter, man. This is me, so that's why I ask these questions, just trying to understand the life of a firefighter as well.
Let me put it this way, né?
Yeah.
Firefighters are, you know, extraordinary people.
Mm.
We love fun. We love adrenaline. We've got a high level of energy.
Yeah.
So even when we're not on duty, we still want to go and rescue people. So it's an ongoing thing.
Oh, yeah.
So if you love the job, then there's a saying that says, love your job and you'll never work a day in your life.
Mm.
So, you know, seeing a red vehicle passing by with sirens and all those red lights,
yeah,
excites us.
Yeah.
So it's not all, you know, doom and gloom,
mm,
that is a sad career and so,
yeah,
forth. It's actually a very exciting career.
Yeah.
Where when you hold a fully charged hose and you're going to extinguish a fire, knowing very well that you are the last hope for the person that is inside,
mm,
that is trapped.
Yeah.
You do it with vigor and energy, and you kick those doors and you get in and you rescue the person and you go out and mission accomplished. So, yeah, even your family gets to love it,
yeah,
at some point because they know daddy is going to do something wonderful if,
yeah,
needed.
Yeah.
You know. If need be, then, you know, it will be.
Yeah. I don't know if you are a TV person, a series person. You know, back in the days, I used to worry a lot most of the time when I see an engine I think you call it an engine, right?
A fire engine.
Yeah, fire engine.
Some call it a fire truck.
When I see a fire engine, I used to get worried. I'm like, oh, who's in trouble and what's happening, right? And I would worry, it's like, are they going to be able to rescue everyone, right?
Yeah.
And then sometime this year, I was introduced to a TV series called 911. And I just fell in love with just seeing people rescuing people. So now when I see the engine, I get excited. I'm like, oh, somebody's about to be rescued.
Look, we don't want to meet you by accident, so to speak. We actually don't want to go and rescue people because it means that they're in trouble.
Yeah.
But this is life. So accidents happen and fires do consume homes and then people are in danger and in need. So we go there and do that job.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's as simple as that.
No, that's amazing. And if you've just joined in right now, you are tuning to Alumni Talk. It's on FM 93.6. I'm joined by Mr. Lindsay Zmunguni. He's a firefighter and author. He's also an acting public information and liaison officer and spokesperson for the City of Tshwane Emergency Services Department. We are about to get into something different. We are done talking about his book. I think we want to know more about, you know, his new role now, you know. So you can find us on WhatsApp as well, and we can continue having that conversation. If you want to ask him questions, you're more than welcome to do so. Just send through those questions.
You are listening to Tshwane FM, where the tunes are so good, they speak for themselves. We are not here to compete. Here is another one. Tshwane FM. Because ordinary radio just won't cut it. Connect with us on WhatsApp.
012-382-4936.
We are not just playing the game. We are rewriting the rules. We are Tshwane FM 93.6, Cape City's number one.
If you've just joined in right now, it's Alumni Talk at Tshwane FM 93.6. My name is Lalavi David, and it's exactly 23 minutes before the hour 7, almost close to the end of our conversation, not an interview, a conversation that we're having, diving into the life of a very exciting, humble, courageous, and someone who loves humanity. We're talking about Mr. Lindsay Zmunguni, who is a firefighter, author, and also an acting public information and liaison officer and spokesperson for the City of Tshwane's Emergency Services Department. Right now, we are about to get into, you know, a conversation about his new role. You know, I want to understand. I think the first thing, as a spokesperson now, not just as a firefighter, what are the most common emergencies your department responds to, and how do you prepare for them?
City of Tshwane Emergency Services Department responds to all types of incidents that occur within our area of jurisdiction and beyond our borders, as you have seen. So we normally respond to a number of categories of rescue incidents or, you know, calls.
Yeah.
Let me mention vehicle fires, you know, grass or rubbish fires, even wildland fires and forest fires.
Yeah,
we turn out to house fires, building fires. This is what we call outbuildings, your lapas, your windies, you know, temporary structures that have just been built.
Yeah,
we extinguish those fires. Electrical fires like lamp poles, you know, we get called for a lamp pole that is on fire and we must turn out for it.
Yeah.
Even substations or transformers. The one that is, you know, most challenging for us is shack fires in informal settlements, because shack fires, you know, they don't give you a chance. It's like a car fire. They don't give you a chance to respond and be there on time.
Mm.
So that is where, you know, public education comes in to say that, you know, protect yourselves, because you are the one that will be mostly available during an emergency, a fire.
Mm.
So take a bucket and extinguish it where possible, or switch off the electricity, and you know, try to fight the fire.
Mm.
But that is community-based firefighting or response. So we do standby events in events.
Mm-hmm.
Like your soccer matches, your rugby matches, and you know, if there are international stars that came to our city, we have to stand by and, you know, provide protection for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've seen, we turn out to disasters as well,
yeah,
national or local or, you know, regional.
Mm.
Yeah.
So
those are the types of fires that we respond to, but we are not only that as the emergency services department. We also turn out to specialized rescues, like I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
We turn out to building collapses, you know, if you remember the incident in George.
Yes.
Stuff like that, you know.
Okay.
Or trench collapses where maybe the workers were digging the trench and the trench collapsed on the workers, and then we come and rescue them. It's not just an easy operation to do, because you must protect the trench first and then start digging out the victim.
Mm-hmm.
We do high angle rescue where somebody is trapped on the mountain, you know, on a mountain cliff. We've got technicians that hang on a rope and go and rescue that person.
How often does it happen though around here?
It's not a common call to receive, because mostly it's people that are, you know, hiking on the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
Or somebody that was trapped on the 12th floor of a building. Maybe they were cleaning the windows and they got trapped there.
And then talking about hiking, let's say, for instance, I went on a hike somewhere, it's a mountain, and somehow I get lost. Maybe I didn't follow the hiking trail guidelines and stuff, and now I don't know how to get back down there so that I can get home. Is that something you respond to, and how do people, you know, report that?
Remember, if there is a network where you are hiking, then you must call for an emergency assistance.
Yeah.
And we come and rescue you then.
Yeah.
We do what is called wildland search and rescue.
Yeah.
So we come and find you. We don't work alone, so we work with other departments as well, sister departments like the police, the military.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let me put it like these private rescue organizations.
Yeah.
So we, even Gauteng-based urban session rescue, we've got a team that is specific for Gauteng, which is called Urban Session Rescue SA.
Mm.
So we'll call sister departments to come and assist with the rescue of that patient, session rescue of that victim.
Yeah.
Victims, yeah.
Okay. No. That's it's clear for some of us who like hiking, just in case.
And just to conclude on the responsibilities of our, you know, functions.
Yeah.
We also render hazardous materials functions, you know. Hazardous materials like your petrol tankers on the road, LPG tankers, even stationary ones in the factories. So where there's a hazardous material that has leaked, or, you know, there's an accident of a hazardous material, so we've got specialized units for that to respond to those things.
Okay.
I'm thinking of a gas that has leaked out of a hospital, you know, or in the case of the nuclear plant at Pelindaba, you know, you'll be called to come and rescue the victims there.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
I mentioned earlier on that we no longer, you know, have an ambulance service, so to speak.
Yeah.
We treat patients because we've got qualifications to treat patients, and we are registered with the Health Professions Council of South Africa.
Mm.
As some of us are paramedics, some mm-hmm. of us are basic life support, intermediate life support, or advanced life support.
So we'll
treat the patient and then wait for any available ambulance,
mm.
mainly from the state.
And what are some public tips or awareness campaigns is your department currently, working on? As someone who's responsible for that, as a spokesperson, I think we need to hear from you.
There are campaigns for each year, and the themes are changed so that it doesn't get boring. And these are campaigns that are mainly run by our peer section,
uh-huh.
which falls under the business operations division of our department.
Yeah.
So the peer section will go out there and educate the public and the children, even companies if there's a need, and we'll go on radio like I'm doing now, mm-hmm. and tell people that they must act safely.
Yeah.
This winter we have a slogan to say, be warm, but be safe.
Mm.
So think safely. Mm. But in general, we say that if there are any exposures to dwellings or shacks or houses or vegetation or felt fires, immediately you go on dial and you dial 107,
mm-hmm.
or 107 is a free number to call on mm-hmm. your cell phone or at home, or you could dial 012-358-6300 or 012-358-6400.
Yeah.
All those numbers go to our emergency control center, and the call is then attended to as yeah. such. So we say, people, because it's winter, they like to, get themselves warm using mm-hmm. imbaula. Imbaula, the braziers.
Yes, yes.
Especially in the informal settlements.
Mm.
We say that they must light it up, let it smoke up, and once the smoke is gone, they can start warming their homes
mm.
up. But the problem with that is that if there's not enough ventilation,
yeah.
then the carbon monoxide builds up.
Mm.
And it's a very dangerous gas, and it can kill the occupants of
yeah.
the house.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's better to warm up, and whilst they're still,
awake,
switch it off or take it outside, kill it with water, and then you can sleep. Never use fuels that are not designed for your heating unit.
Yeah.
Some people would think of putting paraffin in an oil burner, or vice versa, so it's not right. This season calls for, controlled burnings, but it must be authorized.
Yeah.
So as much as it must be authorized, we don't approve anything this season because the grass is too dry. Once you start trying to do that controlled burning, then there's a runaway fire.
Mm.
Never leave children unattended near fires or candles, because they become fascinated and want to experiment.
Yeah.
And then the fire starts.
Yeah.
Make sure all candles are placed in safe candle holders.
Uh-huh.
Never connect electricity illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a huge problem, like
informal settlements mostly.
Yes, but those are causes of fires. Never overload electrical plugs. You see some people put many devices on one plug, and it starts heating up. And extinguish paraffin fires with sand, or a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
If the paraffin burner starts burning, it's much easier to just take soil and cover that.
Mm.
Or even when you're cooking using cooking oil.
Yes.
Just cover it up rather than throwing water on it. If you throw water, you are fueling that cooking oil up. So those are the safety tips that I can tell the listeners.
You know, what is the most challenging part of your role now, like the new role as a spokesperson, and how do you address difficult questions from the media or public?
Yeah, you know, it's a new role for me, né?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the City of Tshwane Emergency Services Department's Public Information and Liaison Officer plays a very important and critical role in relaying much needed information out there to the public, as you have also mentioned. So it's a huge responsibility for somebody, and that on its own is a challenge. You need to be comfortable in your own skin. You need to, you know, be sure and, you know, trust in yourself, and trust that the, you know, the media people, they are trying to also get the same information that you have and want to disseminate it. So keep calm and reassure yourself and tell yourself that it's a good deed that you are trying to do. We are all in the same boat. So that's how I handle it.
You know, you can also get in touch with us if you have questions. Do send through your questions on our WhatsApp line. We are 012-382-4936. I got a question here. It says, "Hi, my name is Takuma Emmanuel. I just acquired my qualification as a firefighter, and I'm listening to the discussion. I wanted to ask that as a firefighter, how can you deal with trauma and stress as the job and response can be traumatic and hectic?"
Yeah, Takuma, is it a man or a girl? But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's Takuma Emmanuel.
Yeah. To try and respond to that one is, you know, we undergo training. So as a trained firefighter, that should help you to understand your job. So you must take pride in your job, be calm, execute it to the best of your ability. And if ever you had to experience a traumatic situation, take it as part of your job. Be strong and approach your officer, your supervisor, and tell him or her that you have experienced this kind of exposure and you felt you were traumatized by the situation. So then the officer will organize occupational health and safety practitioners for you to, you know, advise you on how to handle your trauma. Remember, the brain works with stimulants. So the more you think about it, the more you get stimulized. So your practitioners will tell you how to cope. So that's how I can respond. It's a matter of you have to consult and also try as well to, you know, to have a coping mechanism. Say for example, you must play sport or listen to music. Think positively. Read a book, like my book.
And normally, if you experience a traumatic, event, and of course, it's about rescuing, right? It's an emergency. Such things are bound to happen. Maybe in your experience, how long does it take, you know, to sort of like now move on from that traumatic event?
This is how I take it, and probably most of the experienced firefighters. You treat each call as, you know, different from another call. So when you're called to a rescue where a person has probably got critical injuries, you know, to his, we call it extremities or legs or rib cage or whatever. You come there, you do the best that you can to save that person. It's not about you, it's about that person. And you must execute your job to the best of your ability to rescue that person who's got a right to emergency services and medical treatment. And once you're done with that, then you're done with it. You go back to station and you prepare yourself for another call. And it can happen right whilst you're still treating that patient, then they call you for another patient. So just get it right in your mind and deal with each case as an individual case. I always try not to look at the, you know, at the seriousness of the injury in terms of the gravity. I look at the person's need. The person must be helped, and you have to bandage that wound, and you have to treat that burn wound. You have to, you know, do what you must. And once you do that with passion and love, then you won't be thinking about the trauma that you are experiencing, because even then, you are like a doctor who's operating on a patient so that the patient can survive. If you don't do it, then the patient won't survive. But if you do it with love and passion, even that kind of exposure dissipates quite easily. In my case, it dissipates quite easily. It never goes away. But you get to have pride to say, I did my best and I rescued somebody today.
No, thank you. I think Tamuka Emmanuel, rather, I hope that answers your questions, and I hope that everything that you're doing, you are able to, you know, continue doing your best and making sure that you continue to treat people. You chose this life. You chose this career, or it chose you, like he said earlier on, that it's a calling. So let's hope that the experience that you're getting as you continue, it will be, you know, easy for you to do your job from there. We just have a couple of minutes. We are about to make way for Pitori Original Thursdays with Hoshi Khadi and Prode. So how can people get hold of your book, and how can they get hold of you in a space of emergency, in time for emergency?
Okay, I'll start with the department's numbers. Like I mentioned before, it's 107. If you are on the road traveling to, you know, Cape Town or KwaZulu-Natal or Limpopo, then you would dial 112 on the cell phone, or 10177. That's on the other provinces, but in Tshwane we use 107.
Okay.
And that's the very efficient number to call. Otherwise, you just call the other numbers that I gave, which is 012-358-6300 or 6400. Our control center is always ready 24 hours, and we've got stations all over the city that will respond on time according to community safety standards regarding the protection of people against fire. So within a short time, we should be at your help. As far as my book is concerned, people can search for it online. It is available on Amazon.
Now, Mr. Mnguni, thank you so much for making time for us, for sharing those emergency tips, for walking us through your journey as a firefighter, you know, being in rescue missions as well, and the type of job that you are doing right now. And those safety tips that we got, at least I know now that I can, even though I have to be careful, I can continue hiking. And